engrossed. This is a conference committee. What we're going to do is work off the amendment matrix, which you all should have in front of you now. For those of you who don't have it, let us know. We thought this was an easier way to understand the changes we're suggesting. Those changes will be reflected in the B6 amendments. We're going to walk through them and discuss them here on the committee. I'm not going to ask for testimony from the public unless we have a specific question we have to have asked or answered. Is anyone object to that procedure? We okay? All right. I'm going to normally in these situations I ask our committee staff to walk us through this. And I think we'll do that this time too if you're comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. But I'm asking you to do as we go piece by piece. I want to stop and discuss each piece as we go through.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll start with the House being engrossed on severe and catastrophic.
And you're wanting to go through the matrix.
The matrix, yes.
Okay,
the matrix.
Good.
I'm sorry if I didn't make myself clear.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. We'll start walking our way through the House being engrossed version. The first part here states, whereas reducing vulnerability to drought stress and the risk of severe insect and disease outbreaks and catastrophic wildfires fed by overstocking and unprecedented accumulation of forest fuels. Section 3.
We'll stop there for a moment.
Okay.
And then the Senate version.
The original Senate version was uncharacteristic, was the phrase we used for this for the most part. The concern here, from my understanding, and others may correct me, is that in high-altitude areas, severe and catastrophic, by many people, is considered a normal occurrence and one which should not be altered. There are others who feel differently about that. I had a discussion with the agency. They feel they can work with this language and that they can protect the higher-altitude areas. This is not going to impact those significantly. For that reason, I was accepting of this language. Others may feel differently on this panel right now, and may want to speak to it.
To be clear, Senator Bates, you're saying that you're accepting of the House
B engrossed version here.
Yeah.
For the reason
in the first block.
Yes.
Okay.
Understanding that there are many who feel that severe and catastrophic fires in higher altitude areas are actually a norm. You know, they occur infrequently every 500 years. And that may well be the case, but as far as this bill is concerned, the agency has stated to me they don't believe that's going to be an effect they're going to deal with under this bill, and it's not something they're concerned about. They're talking about lower altitudes.
As long as Marvin knows what it means, we're fine.
That's my indication. When I say agency, you know who I'm talking about. I don't want to put anybody personally on the spot here. Okay? Next.
Next, we'll move to Section 3. Under Sub 1 that deals with conformance with federal law, here we're speaking about entering into stewardship contract agreements, and the new language under the House version would say manage vegetation under those agreements as part of that stipulation, as opposed to removal of vegetation and small diameter trees. So they're managing vegetation under the agreements, under the new language.
Any questions?
And on this one, you were indicating that you're going again with the House version.
With the House version.
And there's a rationale. Sometimes you've got to do more than remove a small diameter tree if you had a diseased larger tree or whatever. Is that? I'm just being explicit about what's implicit in what you're saying, and I'm going to keep doing that.
And there's another issue. There's another phrase that I think is very important. It's called management objectives. Those management objectives should deal with the size and maturity of trees throughout this bill. Management objectives, to me, and I want it clear on the record, mean conservation of mature and conservation of old growth whenever possible when we're dealing with this. So I want that on the record. It's not going to be explicit in the bill, but management objectives encompass that. Continue, please.
Okay, the third block on the first page, and I'll be reading on to the beginning of the next page. This continues. Here we're dealing again with Section 3, Sub 6 this time, which states the policy of the state of Oregon. In this case, adding to that policy, we're adding to sub B, saying the use of woody biomass for energy maintains or enhances the biological productivity of the land, taking into consideration transportation costs, existing forest conditions, management objectives, vegetation growth rates, and the need to sustain water quality and fish and wildlife habitat. That is an addition that was not present in the Senate version. So we're adding a sub B in addition to the sub A you see there.
Any objections or questions? Again, management objectives is in this. I think it's a very important phrase. Section 4.
Section 4, the House version, indicates that in furtherance with the state policy indicated, as we just read in Section 3, the state forester shall removed.
They removed that section in the House.
I see. You're removing sub 3 from the original Senate version, which was to solicit public comment on the location of biomass-based energy projects and conservation facilities. I will let you know that is coming up and added back in the B6s.
Is that this entire section which is the Senate version is placed back into the House version? Any objections or questions? Thank you. Definition of biomass.
Moving on to definition of biomass. It actually, if you flip to the next page, is where the change is. You'll see that now we're adding sub B, which says the use of woody biomass for energy. Again, we're talking about the state policy can be used to maintain or enhance. Again, the same the same items that we indicated before. That is, maintaining or enhancing biological productivity of the land, taking into consideration transportation costs, existing forest conditions, et cetera, the exact language that we had just read from Section 3.
Questions? Comments?
I guess I won't make any comments at this point.
Again, I want on the record that the management objectives phrase is extremely important. What those objectives are determines a lot of what you're doing here. And there would be very specific times when mature trees and old growth either need to be protected or partially removed for the objectives you're trying to reach. And those objectives are the key. We are not having language in there that speaks directly to mature trees or to old growth, but I want people to understand that management objectives are designed to cover those issues. And I might ask Mr. Brown to step up here for a moment to discuss that just for a second.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Marvin Brown, Director of the Department of Forestry. And you wanted to address the question of management objectives and what that means?
Yes, I want on the record you and I had a conversation about this before, and there are those who are very concerned about the conservation protection of mature and old growth, and there are others who feel, and I agree with both sides in this, frankly, that there are times when under this bill and what we're trying to do with this, you might have to remove some mature or old growth in order to obtain the objective you're trying to here with clearing the forest and managing that forest. I'd like to have your comments on it, please.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, I agree with what you're saying, and we've talked about this, that I think any management activity that takes place here, you know, would consider the value of leaving mature trees and old growth kinds of structure on the landscape. I think that's, you know, going to be part of the management objectives that would go forward anytime. But that doesn't mean that you should leave every old tree every time. And I think that's an important piece of flexibility that managers need, that there are times when, for whatever reason, it's good to look at harvesting trees in a range of classes all the way up to the older ones. For example, there may be, you know, a 30-inch tree here and a 20-inch tree here, And what you want to do is remove the 30-inch tree so the 20-inch one can become the old-growth tree in 10 years or something. So we just think it's important to leave that full range of flexibility.
We've been criticized in this body for micromanaging our state forests, or attempting to micromanage our state forests, both in the public press and elsewhere. I don't want to make the same mistake again. I want to give the forestry agency a chance to make decisions on good management objectives, which I assume you will do, and then follow through on that in this bill.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that's right.
Questions?
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly, when you talk about something like management objectives, you have a whole spectrum here. You have conservation. You have the health of the forest, habitat, everything lives there, clean water, erosion control, beauty. You also have our desire to control fires, keep the fuel level down, which may have grown up naturally or unnaturally, depending on how you want to look at it in circumstances. But management objectives also include falling of trees and milling this lumber and keeping our mills and jobs going here in this state. I just want to get that on the record, that that's included in management objectives, along with all those other good things that go along with it. Am I correct in their whole spectrum here, correct?
Yes, Chair and Representative, that's well said.
Thank you.
Okay. Move on to any other questions?
Well,
Marvel, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Senator Shields. Thank you, Senator Bates. You're looking at
the matrix.
Would you like to make a comment that kind of summarizes the differences as you see them between what we are obviously adopting as the House version of Section 3 here, the definition, right? Can you, in any way, in your understanding, kind of reconcile in your mind, and that can be important to state policy, the difference between the House and the Senate versions of these two, and if we are to try and get something out of conference committee, give us something to speak to in terms of reconciliation?
Yes, Chair, Senator Bates, or Shields, I'm sorry. The thing I've been too flexible. I've tried to say all along, I haven't interpreted the problematic language in either version that some folks have. Really, I think we can work pretty well with what's here. I do think the House version leans more towards the management flexibility that would always be good to have. There's some of the bottom lines are that we want to deal with health problems. If you call it severe, catastrophic, uncharacteristic, whatever, we want to deal with health problems. We want to be able to manage wisely, and that can mean cutting some big trees sometimes as well as cutting small trees. We want to be able to include the public in the discussions like we always would. We want to make good decisions in terms of cost, transportation, all those things. And, whether that's spelled out that you like it this way or like it better that way, those are all the things we're going to do anyway.
Just to put this on the record, Mr. Chair, I appreciate everything you said. I think you do a good job of that generally. A sticking point at Mahal and in the conversation is that while you're doing all this, in the Senate version, they wanted to say that you do it while providing for the conservation of mature trees and old growth on federal lands, which is what this is about. My way, and I don't know why we can't get there, but my way of dealing this would be to say, that you do it while providing for the conservation of mature trees and old growth on federal lands as it fits your management objectives. Because you have this broad, encompassing set of management objectives that I'm comfortable with. And I just wanted to say that on the record. We can't get there, but they can. You should do that. You should be doing that. It is federal land. You have to operate within their parameters anyway. So you ought to be probably under their guidance anyway, providing for the conservation of mature trees and old growth when it fits your management objectives. If Am I making any sense here, or am I out to lunch? Excuse me, I haven't had lunch yet. Sorry about that.
We're all getting hypoglycemic. Go ahead.
Chair Bates and Senator Shields, you're making sense. On our own projects, we take into consideration and provide for those habitat characteristics, you know, the old growth and mature tree habitat characteristics. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we would do that in these projects, and I'm quite sure that the federal guidelines will address that.
Mr. Chair, I don't see why it's a problem the way it is, just because we have this on the record, and I know these guys have a pretty good track record.
I agree, and while I prefer that language actually being explicit in the bill, we have a constitutional problem here in the committee of getting it in, so this is why we're getting this on the record, okay? I don't want to lose the bill over that. I often say I don't want to lose the good for the perfect, and that's where we're at here. So we'll move on then. Any other questions? Section on the matrix, the heading of Section 4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. The last two changes are in Section 4, the first one relating to the promotion of public understanding. In the House version, we're talking using the positive, we're saying potential benefits of woody biomass utilization, as opposed to the original version where we're talking about potential consequences. And then finally, under sub 8 and...
What we've agreed on is to use the language for both. Potential benefits and potential consequences will not be part of the bill.
It'll say both.
So we'll have both potential consequences and...
That's in dash B's.
Dash B's will read potential benefits and potential consequences of woody biomass utilization. Okay? Any other questions?
And then finally, Section 4, we are actually, a lot of this, in the Dash B6 amendments, we're going back to some of the House version. In the matrix, we're talking about preparing the report. The House version did say in conjunction with the preparation of a strategic plan, and then talks about what that report shall identify. In the B6s, we're talking about requiring the report, again, back to every 3 years, and also specifying that the report shall include recommendations not only, as you see, to the use of the biomass, but also to have the state forester recommend any changes he might suggest to avoid negative effects on the environment from woody biomass collection and conversion.
We basically have morphed these both together, and this is one point where the amended version might make more sense to people. I will not take time to read that, but it's now a 9. It starts prepare report is the last part of this bill. I think it's a nice way of elegantly bringing both of them together. Are there any questions about this section?
Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure that the state forester, every 3 years, he's compatible with that.
Yes, Chair, and Representative Boquist, when we were working through this with Senator Nelson, the discussion we had was that the data we use to prepare the report is going to be existing data that's available, that's collected by the Forest Service or whomever. And as long as I understand that we're not going to go out there and do original kinds of research to prepare this report, I think that was the important concept that we wanted in there. Whether it's every 3 years or 8 mm-hmm. is not that important.
Mr. Chair, that's my understanding, too.
Fine. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, all the changes are right here in this matrix, correct? This is what we're going off, just like this, in this copy, and the hand and grows.
And the hand and grows reflects specifically what... I just used the matrix, so I thought it'd be easy to go through and compare both sides we went through. Any other questions? I would entertain a motion, then, that... not give me a little pony going here, but we concur and amend... The Senate concur in the House amendments, the July 29th. Wait, this is not quite right. This is not the right pony. We want it.
Mr. Chair, B6.
This is under B6. This is not the B6.
Closed amendments.
Mr. Chair, members, it's my understanding. Okay, first yeah. First we'll adopt the B6 yeah. amendments.
Ms. Chair, I'd like
that would be in addition to concurring with the House amendments that are dated July 29th.
Ms. Chair, I'd like to move the B6 amendments into SB 1072.
Motion. Any discussion? Any objections? Do we need a roll call vote on this?
No. Without objection.
Okay. Without objection, so ordered. Feels powerful.
No.
Now we can concur in a minute.
Mr. Chair, I move that the conference committee concur on the amendments to SB 1072.
Dated July
29th.
So said.
The bill be further amended and repassed.
So said, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any discussion? Any objections?
We're just clear that we're passing it with those B6.
B6,
correct.
Absolutely.
As per the amendment, that's right.
Okay.
So ordered, and this work session is closed. Thank you all for your work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.